Good evening. Good to see each of you here this evening, and I hope that our worship and study here together will be beneficial to each and every one of us, that will help us to maybe be able to serve our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ a little better in the future than we have in the past. It is my hope and my prayer this evening that, first of all, what we have to say here glorifies our Father's wonderful name and praises His wonderful name. And the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ will be magnified, and the Holy Spirit will be magnified this evening by our worship here together. We have visitors, and we're always thankful to have visitors to worship with us, and we invite the visitors to be back and worship with us any time that you have an opportunity. And if you're looking for a place to call home, we'd ask you to please consider Ephesus as your home church. A little background before we get into the actual lesson this evening. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul and his journey on his way to Rome, Italy. No, on the Apostle Paul's third missionary journey, getting close to the end of the third missionary journey, he told the people that he needed to go to Jerusalem and to tell those there at Jerusalem, the apostles and the rest of the church there at Jerusalem, what God had done through him, how that he had been able to preach the gospel and had been able to cause many people to be added to the church. And he wanted to go to Jerusalem to tell them this. But a prophet named Agabus in those days told Paul, says, no, you don't need to go up to Jerusalem, because if you go up to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound and put in prison. And he took out his belt and put it around his hands and said, you're going to be bound if you go to Jerusalem. But Paul looked at the crowd and told them, said, I'm not only willing to go to Jerusalem and be bound for Jesus Christ, but I am willing to even die for him. Now that's faith, isn't it? That's a faith that we need to be working towards, that we need to be seeking. A faith that says that we're not only willing to be bound for the Lord's sake, but give our lives for him. You know that Jesus says, if you love your brother like you ought to, you'd be willing to give your life for your brother. That's a question that each one of us need to ask ourselves this evening. Would I be willing to give my life for one of you? I hope I would. I hope I would. So Paul does go to Jerusalem. And he sees these Gentile people there that have made a vow. And Paul takes these Gentiles into the temple for the period of purification, so they'd be pure. And boy, this really upset the Jews and the high priests. Gentiles in the temple. What do you mean, Paul, taking Gentiles into the temple? You have profaned the temple. And they created a great mob and began to beat Paul. But the Roman soldiers interfered and come and took Paul out of the mob situation and keep him safe. And they took Paul to Felix, one of the governors there. And Felix and also Festus was the governor there later on after Felix. And During this time, which was about 2 years, Paul was imprisoned there in Jerusalem. And in the process of time, King Agrippa came down to Jerusalem. And he heard about Paul, and he said, well, I want to hear what Paul has to say. So they brought Paul before King Agrippa, and Paul pleaded his case to King Agrippa about how that they had beat him and for no cause, that he hadn't profaned the temple. You know, apparently the Jews and the priests and all had not heard about, I did not believe that the old law had been nailed to the cross. You know, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, the old law, the law of Moses, as sometimes we call it, was nailed to the cross. It was fulfilled. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross to bring in the new covenant. You know, when we took the Lord's Supper this morning, there was a verse on the screen here. When Jesus initiated the Lord's Supper, he said he took this bread and gave thanks for it and said, this is my body. Take and eat of it. And he also took the cup and said, drink of this, for this is the blood of the covenant, that new covenant that Jesus established when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. So the Gentiles under the new covenant had just as much right to enter the temple as the Jews did, it seems to me. But the Jews and the high priest and all didn't feel that way. So they wanted to put Paul to death. So Paul, during one of his trials with Festus, said, I plead my case to Caesar. I plead my case to Caesar. Now Caesar was in Rome, Italy, which was some 12 to 1500 miles from where Jerusalem is. So Festus says, you appeal your case to Caesar you'll go. And Paul told all this to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa and those with him, they went aside and they said, this man has done nothing to even be put in prison, far much less to be put to death. But says, since he's appealed his case to Caesar, we'll have to let him go to Caesar. Verse 32 of chapter 26 of Acts. King Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So in some process of time, I don't know how long it was after this, that the voyage to Rome with Paul begins. In Acts 27, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus regiment. So entering a ship, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. And when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Caesarea and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Sidius, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salamis. passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent, I don't know how long that much time was, probably several days or maybe even weeks, I don't know, it don't say. When much time had spent and sailing was now dangerous, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuasive than the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest and the northwest and winter there." When the south wind blew softly, they thought they had it made. The south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after that, the tempest wind began to blow. The tempest wind arose, called the Euryclidean wind. Y'all excuse my pronunciation. Some of these words are hard for me to pronounce, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing them well. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let it drive. In other words, they couldn't control the ship, the direction of the ship, so they just let the wind blow it wherever it wanted to blow it. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudi, we secured the skiff with difficulty. Now, a skiff back in those days was a little small boat that they had tied along the ship. If you've ever rowed in a cruise ship that have these little boats along the side for emergency situations. So that's what the skiff was for. When they secured the skiff with difficulty, when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the sands, they struck sail and were so driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw out the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally gone. They're getting into a sad situation, isn't it? The wind's blowing. The waves are just taking the ship wherever the winds want them to blow. Now, if you've ever been in a ship out in the ocean and the wind blowing, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Back a few years ago, Robert and Diane and I and a couple more couples went on a cruise down through the Gulf. And that night, the winds blew, probably about like it was here. They said that there was 30-foot waves, and I wouldn't doubt it. We all got seasick, except for Diane and Jimmy Dave that was with us. And that's a miserable sickness, getting seasick. But can you imagine being in a wooden ship? Now, I don't know how big that ship was, but in Paul's day, it was probably a pretty good size to be a wooden ship. But just imagine how a 30-foot wave would, what they would do to a wooden ship, much less a steel and iron ship. So on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard. And neither sun nor star had appeared for many days. They give up hope. But after a long absence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me. I told you we ought not to take this cruise at this time of the year. But you wouldn't listen. Now I urge you to take heart, For there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart. Take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as He said, just as He told. However, we must run aground on a certain island." Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. Can you imagine being 14 days in a ship tossed about by the wind and the waves, and in a wooden ship at that? The sailors, sensing that they were drawing near to some land, they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. Now, a fathom is 6 foot. So 20 fathoms, that would have been 120 foot, right, or 112 foot. Somewhere around 100 foot, anyway, the water depth. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms, which would be about 90 foot. So they thought that they were getting close to land. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings and found it to be 15 foot. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Prayed for day to come. In verse 30, and the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." That's Acts 27:30-31. Unless you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Romans 6:3-5. And I'm using this story here tonight as a, what do we call it, Robert?
Metaphor.
As a metaphor. It is a sign of old age there again, kicking in. A metaphor. As Paul told these men, unless you stay in the ship, you can't be saved. Unless you and I stay in Christ, we cannot be saved spiritually. If we're not in Christ, we're going to be lost. If these men hadn't stayed in the ship back there, they would surely have drowned and been lost, wouldn't they? Romans 6:3-5. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. When you and I are baptized into Christ, God puts us in the ship. He puts us in the ship, which is Christ. And as long as we stay in the ship, which is Christ, we're safe. Galatians 3:27 through 29. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. There again, as many as you as were baptized. That's everyone in it. That's all of those that are baptized or in Christ, have put on Christ. We're in the ship, aren't we? We're in the ship called Christ. Look to Jude 21. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm new with these slides. This is the first time I've ever done the slides. So just bear with me. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to stay in the ship, which is Christ, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. So that brings us to another question. How do we stay in the love of God? To stay in the love of God, you and I need to draw near to God. James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And how do we cleanse our hands? How do we draw near to God? I love that verse in the Bible. It says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. That's how we cleanse our hands. That's how we stay right, stay righteous in the sight of God. Is that continual cleansing blood of Jesus. Not what we have done, but what Jesus has done for us in shedding his precious blood for us. Another way that we draw near to God, Pray. You and I can never pray too much. Prayer is the most wonderful benefit you and I have as God's children, as his disciples, as Christians, is prayer. Being able to talk with God, our Father. Tell him our wants, our needs, our desires. But at the same time, giving him praise and thanksgiving for what he has already done for us, for what he does for us each day. Pray. Oops. I didn't do that. Okay. Okay, we'll get back here in just a minute. Pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. No, that don't mean just pray 24 hours a day, but have that attitude, that prayerful attitude of praying without ceasing. You know, I like to go down the back of the home farm has a little creek down there, just a little silent running creek. I love to go down there at times and and be alone and just pray. You know, look up in the blue sky and thank you, Father, for the blue sky. Thank you, Father, for the clouds. Thank you, Father, for my family and my loved ones, for my grandchildren. Thank you, Father, for all you do for me every day. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. There again, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. That's what that means. Don't worry about it. Put it in God's hands. God will take care of you. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know which way to turn? You didn't know whether to go to the right or left, up or down? Maybe a family problem or sickness or whatever. But you just done all you knew to do physically. When we get in that stage, it's time to turn it over to God and let God take care of it. And He's promised that He will. And as long as we believe that He'll take care of it, He will. Now, it may not turn out the way you and I want it to turn out in all these situations. But if we can have the faith that God knows best for us, we can get through it. You know, the Scripture tells us that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And we just need to believe that and have faith that that is true. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication. That supplication means entreating God to answer your prayer. It's almost goes to the strength of begging God. Prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let's all be all the time giving thanks to God for what He has already done for us. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Oh, what a wonderful statement that is, isn't it? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, as long as you and I are doing our best to serve God the way He wants us to, trying to keep His commandments that He's told us to do, we can have that peace of God that passes understanding. Knowing that if I died at this moment, I would go to heaven. And that's a promise that God has made us. Peace that passes all understanding. Another way that we draw near to God, study, study, study. Study God's Word. Second Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Here Paul is talking to Timothy in his letter to Timothy, telling Timothy to study. And how are we going to know whether something is true or not unless we know the truth? And the only way we're going to know the truth is if we study this book right here. Study the Bible. And when we study the Bible and put it into practice, we're going to know how to rightly divide the word of truth. God, we need to ask for wisdom so that we'll know how to rightly divide the word of God. Another way that you and I can draw near to God is by doing good deeds or good works. Doing good deeds or good works. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. Do good deeds. If we see somebody that has a need, if they're hungry, we need to feed them. We don't need to just say, well, God bless, and walk on by like the Samaritans did with the wounded man. But we need to help when we can. Help those that are in need when we can. And that way will draw us nearer to God. And by doing these good deeds, these good works, we lay up treasures in heaven. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? Lay up treasures in heaven. Well, I thought there was some more slides there. Okay, going back to our reading here. So Paul told them to stay in the ship, and you and I need to stay in the ship of Jesus Christ. We need to be faithful. Going back to Acts, beginning with verse 30 there. Says, then the soldiers cut away the ropes off the skips and let it fall. As the day was about to draw, Paul implored them to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food. Can you imagine going 14 days without eating? Whew. Well, I would have been hungry, and I'm sure they were. Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore I urge you, take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head of any of you. That's comforting to know, isn't it? Not a hair from the head of any of them would fall. And when he had said these things, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it and began to eat, they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. So they had just about thrown out everything they had on the ship except this wheat. And when they had eaten, they said they had thrown the wheat out. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosened the rudder's ropes, they hoisted the mainsail in the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And that's what Paul told them was going to happen, wasn't it? Earlier, he told them the ship was going to run aground. The ship stuck fast in the remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul and keep them for their purpose, and commanded that those that could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on the boards and parts of the ship. And so it was so that they all escaped safely to land. And this island that they escaped to was the island of Malta. So, the lesson tonight, we need to stay in the ship. That ship, that spiritual ship of ours, is Jesus Christ. But you know, we got to get in the ship and we first. And we discussed how we do that. As many as were baptized into Christ, have put on to Christ. When we do that, God adds us to Christ. He puts us in the ship. and we're safe as long as we're in the ship. But if we just let, if we're in Christ and just kind of let our ship, our life just drift a little which way ever the wind blows, I don't believe the Lord will be too satisfied with that one. We need to keep our ship, keep our life in that straight and narrow way. Our question to you tonight, are you in Christ? Are you in the ship, the spiritual ship, that will save your soul in heaven when this life is over? Or if Christ should come back before this life is over? If you're not, you have the opportunity this hour to do that, to come to Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you confess that belief, Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you repent of you're willing to repent of your sins, turn from serving Satan and turn to serving God. And at last, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin, for the forgiveness of your sin. That'll put you in the ship. That'll put you in Christ. If you're in Christ, but you have not lived the way you need to be living, you can make that right. If you'll confess your sins, we'll pray with you and for you. And God says He'll forgive us when we do that. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?